Hello, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of Yesterday Sports on the Sports History Network. And make sure to check out sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. I have two signed books I'm giving away. One is titled No Nonsense, Old School Weight Training, and the other is Reliving 1970s Old School Football.
When you see something you've never seen before, to some people it may be extremely shocking. This can really be evident if during a game you see your team taken advantage of by their opponents because the opponents use the rules to do something unique. We'll take a look at a couple of these in the NFL as well as some discarded rules from the old NFL. And it's all coming up in just a moment.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So as we come out of the tunnel of the Sports History Network, let's take the field and go no huddle through the portal of positive gridiron history with PigskinDispatch.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at SportsHistoryNetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com. Welcome once again to the Pigpen, your portal to positive football history. And before we get going on today's football history, we want to make sure that you're aware that we have a great email newsletter that comes out each and every morning about 6:30 a.m. Eastern that just has some great tips of all the things that are happening on PigskinDispatch.com, everything that's happening on JerseyDispatch.com, the Sports Jersey Dispatch, Pigskin Dispatch podcast that you're listening to right now, our Orville Mulligan podcast, each and everything is happening there, and all the new posts that are happening on the Sports History Network, we have them all in one newsletter, and it's a daily newsletter, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, and it's packed with things new each and every day, and gives you direct connections into our podcasts and into our blog posts and anything else that we have, our, you know, history dates of items that are popping up and anything new and happening both on Pigskin Dispatch in the Pigpen Sports and on the Sports History Network and many of our friends. We try to notify you of all those things too. Easy way to do it, go to PigskinDispatch.com, look up at the top, there's a join our email list link you can plug in there, or in the show notes of each and every podcast here on Pigskin Dispatch and on the Sports Jersey Dispatch. We ask you to do that, and I think you'll really enjoy that. And we ask for your feedback. If you have anything that you want to hear about or some comments about something you did hear or maybe some corrections that need to be made, we're always all ears and ready to hear it. PigskinDispatch@gmail.com. That's the way to get a hold of us. Or we have a phone number on our website. You can call us there, text us, or, you know, many other ways you can do it. You can send us a DM on a Twitter account at PigskinDispatch, Facebook page where you can send us an instant messenger there. We are Pigskin Dispatch, and so many ways to get a hold of us and get in contact with us. And we'd appreciate hearing your feedback. Now, let's talk about some crazy things that happen. Now, just everyday life, I guess. You know, we go to the grocery store, my wife and I, every weekend, just like many of you do. And, you know, you roam the aisles and you're there every week and you see, you know, the canned goods and the produce and the cereals and candy and whatever else that you're looking at, the freezer section. But have you noticed, you know, we go to different grocery stores. We have like two or three that we tend to go to throughout the month. And I've noticed that grocery stores have these little things in each aisle where they'll have like probably a half a dozen of them where they'll have some odd thing just hanging from a hook off one of the shelves. And one of the most common things that I've seen lately are ping pong balls. Now, you have to start and really think about, why is a grocery store selling ping pong balls? Is there some new exotic way to make food that you use a ping pong ball? I don't really think people are eating the ping pong balls. You know, and it makes sense when you see spoons or ice cube tray makers or, you know, some handy gadget to open up a jar. But when you see something like a ping pong ball, I just don't get it. It's crazy. And speaking of crazy, that's sort of our subject today. We're going to talk about some of these crazy rules in football, especially in the NFL level, that have happened over time, and some are still with us, that you might not be aware of. And one of the a great place that I like to go, you know, being a former official, I'm a zebra, they are is the footballzebras.com. You know, you've heard their owner, their founder, talked on the Sports History Network on the Football History Dude podcast probably about a year or two ago. And it's just a great site, really brings you close to the rules. I highly recommend it. We'll try to get somebody on from there with us to talk about that soon. And it's not just a place for officials or former striped clads like folks like myself to visit. It's really geared at the average football enthusiast. And the history of the game that they preserve is really quite well done. And here's a few items that the Football Zebras talked about recently and to reference our topic in this crazy world of the NFL. And I am going to quote them on this: 3 yards in a cloud of dust is encouraged. And this is a quote from Football Zebras. It's a foreign concept today, but the NFL discouraged the passing game in the 1930s. In 1934, the NFL had a rule that stated if there was an incomplete pass in the end zone on fourth down, or if there were two incomplete passes in the end zone in the same series, the play resulted in a touchback. So, if it was first and goal on the 9-yard line, the offense threw two incomplete passes in the end zone. On first and second down, the defense got the ball via touchback on their own 20-yard line. And up through 1974, an incomplete pass in the end zone on fourth down resulted in a touchback if snapped inside the 20-yard line. Now, starting in 1975, the defense took over on fourth down on an incomplete pass into the end zone from the previous spot. The NFL had mercy on the passing game in 1934, as it stated an incomplete pass was simply a loss of down at the previous spot. Up till 1934, an incomplete pass resulted in a loss of down and a 5-yard penalty from the previous spot. And can you imagine Philip Rivers and Tom Brady operating under the 1934 passing rules? Well, probably not. But those are just some crazy rules. And remember, you know, back, you know, football just adopted the forward pass legally, 1906. And we've looked at that in our Football History Rewind series, where 1906 to 1912 were just some really traumatic and punishing rules against the forward pass. It was more of a gimmick play. You know, our friend, author Timothy Brown, on his Fields of Friendly Strife and his books, How Football Became Football, really brings that home to us in those books of how just how punishing it was. And the NFL was very similar up till 1934. You know, making, you know, two incomplete passes, it's a touchback and the defense gets the ball, or incomplete pass on fourth down. Just some crazy, crazy things. But we thank Football Zebras for that, pointing that one out. Now, there is a rule, though, that I'm very well aware of, because, you know, it's a same kind of rule and very similar in high school level. I believe the college level has the same one. And it's the next rule is not attempted very often, but it's in the rule books of all three levels. And when a team can try a field goal from free kick formation after they are awarded a fair catch, it's not field goal formation in the traditional sense that you see being tried on extra points or normal field goal attempts. No, this is a formation you see on kickoffs. Yes, there's a 10-yard neutral zone, so in essence, no defender can be within 10 yards of the ball until foot hits ball. And here's what the NFL rulebook says in the 2021 rulebook. Section 4, I quote, field goal, Article 1, successful field goal. A field goal is scored when the following conditions are met. A kick must be place kick or drop kicked made by the offense from on or behind the line of scrimmage or from the spot of a fair catch kick. If a fair catch is made awarded outside the inbound line, the inbound spot will be the nearest inbound line. So you see, if there's a punting, a scrimmage kick, and there's a punt, and the receiving team calls for a fair catch, catches it, they are immediately, if they want to, anywhere that ball is, they can have a free kick at a field goal. Kickoff formation. That is a free kick formation. 10-yard buffer in between the receiving team and the kicking team. And you know what these kickers can do right now. You know, they're kicking from the 30-yard line, putting it in the end zone on more times than not. So imagine if they are at the 40-yard line or the 50-yard line and have nobody trying to block the kick. It's you know, there's a chance that they may make a field goal on that, and they're awarded 3 points. Now, you're probably saying, well, when does this ever happen? Well, it's rare. The Carolina Panthers tried one of these in the 2019 season in a game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Yes, the old fair catch field goal. The Panthers field goal after the catch. We have a great article that we found on that, that we have on our a link to it on our website, pigskindispatch.com, for this crazy football rules, NFL rules number one. And prior to that 2019 season, the last time it was tried at the NFL level was a 71-yard field goal attempt, free kick style, after an awarded fair catch by the 49ers kicker Phil Dawson during the 2013 season. So 6 years had passed in between those. Yeah, you know, a coach really has to be smart, and he has to educate his players and know what the intent is. You know, it's not a complicated rule, but it's so unique and few people know about it, you almost never see it happen. And one reason is that it only makes sense if it's at the end of a half and when time is short, and 3 points will help the receiving team. Oh, and don't forget, you have to be in the range of your kicker's leg. So I think the case of the latest one, the Carolina Panthers at Tampa Bay, it was near the end of the first half, if I'm not mistaken, and Tampa Bay Buccaneers were forced to kick from their own 15-yard line with only seconds left. They were just going to kick the ball to hopefully run out the clock. If there would have been a return, it probably would have ran out the clock. And it was inbounds, and the receiver caught it at about the 50-yard line at midfield. Awarded fair catch, and Carolina opted to do this fair catch field goal, or the fair catch kick, as the NFL rulebook calls it, as we just read. So very rare indeed, but really you can score those 3 points. So wanted to make sure you're aware of that one. Now the other one that's mentioned in that same rule that we just talked about is that it's still in the NFL. Kicks can be made by a drop kick. And you know, we've read about the drop kicks being very famous back in the early days of football, the early days of the NFL. But there's still a legal rule that the drop kick can be for points. And it's not worth any more points than a field goal that's placed on a tee with a holder. And it has been done. I believe it was in the early 2000s, 2004, I want to say, that Doug Flutie did it. It was the first time in like 40 years that a successful drop kick for point had been made. Doug Flutie was with the New England Patriots, and they cleverly disguised the play, and Flutie drop kicked a kick for points. A very famous play there indeed. And it is still in the rule book to this day, in, you know, going through the 2021 rule book. Still a crazy play. You don't see it very often, but it can happen, and it has happened, and it is legal, the old drop kick. So those are just some crazy plays that the NFL rulebook has seen in the past, as we were identified by the NFL Zebras website. And, you know, a couple of the kicking rules, just the one kicking rule with a couple really, really odd options that would be very rare to see indeed. And just wanted to explain those to you from an officiating point of view, so you're aware. So if it happens in the upcoming season, you are not surprised. And it could happen in college and high school as well. So, you know, we hope you enjoyed this little bit of history, a little bit of rules history, a little bit of, you know, what's happening with the stripes. And, you know, we hope it prepares you for the unexpected in a football game, and you will be in the know. We thank you for joining us today. Hope you'll join us each and every day for a little bit of taste of football, and especially some great football history. So till tomorrow, everybody, have a great gridiron day. Peeking up at the clock, the time's running down. We're going to go into victory formation, take a knee, and let this baby run out. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you back tomorrow for the next podcast. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hey there, football fans. This is Ross, the host of the Pigskin Tales podcast. I just need a few moments of your time to talk about the host of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, Darren Hayes. He's expanded the Pigpen to search out information on the history of all team sports. It's a quest to find out about the competitors, teams, and places chronicled throughout athletic history through the uniforms and gear the participants used and wore. And he is taking you, the listener, with him on this educational journey to preserve sports history on the Sports Jersey Dispatch, found here on the Sports History Network. His newest podcast, called Jersey Dispatch, is all based on the jerseys that all the greats used to wear. You can find Darren Hayes and the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, as well as Jersey Dispatch, on your favorite podcast provider multiple times each week. So remember that, Darren Hayes, the host of the Pigskin Dispatch and Jersey Dispatch podcasts. It's found right here on the Sports History Network.